with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and KME and sports director John Kurtz.
Welcome into Wildcat Insider. John Kurtz joined by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Mitch Fortner here running the show as well. We're going to talk a ton of basketball here on the show today. First time we've had Wyatt in studio in a while. I figured we could wrap up the football season a little bit as well and get some talk in at 525 about what K-State is going to be looking at heading into spring ball. We now have a date for the spring game as well. Have a poll up on Twitter. You can see it at the game KMAN. Do you think right now at 2-3 in the Big 12, K-State is going to make the NCAA tournament? We've had a bunch of people weigh in there. You can continue to vote there and tweet your questions or comments to us at the game KMAN. The phone number, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us here on the show as well. Your questions or comments always welcome on the air also. It does feel like it's been a long time since we've had the full setup here, the whole kit and caboodle with everybody. But unfortunately, we're talking about what was a tough week overall for K-State hoops. They take another gut punch, really, at Texas Tech with the close call at the end there, the heartbreaker, some controversy. And then Baylor ran into a really good team. You hung with Baylor basically for the entirety of the game, but really had the lead with about 10 minutes to go, let them outscore you by 11 down the stretch run there in the final 10 minutes of the game, and just didn't quite have enough. I think ran into a better team in Baylor, and a toss-up game didn't go your way again at Tech.
I think that's well said, John. It is good to be back, by the way. Happy New Year to everybody. I know it's a little bit late, but, you know, with the bowl game and with the holidays and all of that, and then my travels with basketball, it has been a while, and it feels good to be back in the studio, to be honest. And it was a tough week. I think when you look at all the way back to the Kansas game, to lose two road games basically in an eight-day stretch like that, it was really mentally and physically, probably more mentally tough on the basketball team than I think most people would know. Hope I'm not overstating that. I really think it was a punch in the gut twice, if you want to know the truth. And I worried a lot about the Baylor game just because of what you said. They are a hard matchup for K-State. Their length bothers you. I know they're playing more man now because they can, but their zone affected, I think, K-State offensively. That was a factor. But you're right, too, in that, you know, like most games, you know, K-State had a lead with 10 minutes to go. You hope in that situation that more times than not you're going to come out on top, and I think that's usually the case, but not here. I think certainly you have to give Baylor their due credit for that. I really thought that they played a real solid defensive game. I think they played a pretty good offensive game. But for me, I think the two real differences in the game probably came down to, maybe three, I guess, were the 12 turnovers against Kansas State in the second half. That really hurt. And then you let Manu LeConte go off for a career high and Ish Wainwright go off for a career high. A lot of people missed the Wainwright one, but that's 15 big points from him, and he hit two just dagger baskets in the game.
And he also, he's the one that had the putback too, right? Made it 68-60. Yeah. You were just fighting and scrapping, trying to get within 6 points, which you really didn't down the stretch. He puts down a huge dunk that was a big momentum play. And that to me, really is a killer. I mean, it's one thing to let LeConte go nuts, but he's a great player.
Very good.
And, you know, K-State's seen Baylor point guards. I was reminded of this by someone on Twitter. Seemingly every year in Brandwood's Coliseum, a Baylor point guard, you know, dating back to Pierre Jackson, goes nuts and has a great game. But LeConte was the latest to do that. But, yeah, letting Ish Wainwright go for 15 in a career high, that's when it really starts to hurt. You know, when it's the guys outside of Motley, LeConte, you know, some of those guys that provide a lot of the firepower, that's when it becomes really tough to defend them.
Mm-hmm. We were talking off-air, too, about the fact that, you know, in the first half, K-State really struggled out of the gate with their defense, seemed to be standing, not really moving and getting the ball in the inside and those kind of things. And they kind of masked some issues there by hitting three threes late in the first half to get back to within one. But I think at the end of the day, you know, not maybe taking more of an advantage of having LeConte and Motley in foul trouble in that first half hurt a little bit too. I mean, let's be honest, that was a factor. But Manu was really, really good. And I do have to say this, and this is complimentary to Baylor. You're right, that isn't the first point guard for them to come in here and hurt Kansas State. And I think there is a reason for that. They have had really good point guards in the last decade. Let's maybe stop and give them more credit than we have recently. That guy does a pretty good job. I mean, he just does. Agreed?
Oh, I am.
I know there was a time when you didn't think so.
Well, I'm the guy right now that leads the train of Scott Drew as a great coach, and nobody seems to want to get on board. But the guy took over a program mired in one of the biggest scandals ever and took him to two Elite Eights. So I'm going to stand by Scott Drew being a pretty darn good coach.
Well, and think about how many times he wins 20 to 25 games. They're always kind of, you know, in the mix. They've always had good players. He continues to funnel good players in and out of there. I'm not saying the guy's John Wooden. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that of all of the really fine coaches in our league, he's one guy that doesn't seem to get the credit that he deserves. I don't know why. I really honestly don't. But I think he deserves more than he gets. Let's put it that way.
Well, here's this, too, and I love this. You maybe saw this, too, in their media notes when I was going through it before the game. But people, I think, have the perception of him and why he doesn't get so much credit is he's just a recruiter, roll the ball out there and let him play. Well, he, according to their media notes, has sent more guys in his tenure that were not in the top 100 out of high school to the NBA than anybody else. I mean, that to me would tell you that he's developing some players as well. It's not always rolling out the top 10 recruits in the country there.
And it isn't just – I'll even equate it this way. It's a little bit like Bill Snyder. It isn't just developing players. It's finding them and then developing them. True?
Yes.
I mean, think about what – this is just one example now. Think about what Isaiah Austin was when he got there as opposed to when he left. Jonathan Motley, when he got there, as opposed to when he left. We're probably spending too much time on this, but you get the point. They have had good players there. They just have. They've had a lot of good players there, and they're a hard matchup for K-State, and we saw it again Saturday.
I'll use this quote from Bruce Weber, I think, to underscore some of what we're trying to say here. And, well, it's frustrating that you lost the game. You were certainly in it, had a chance. In all honesty, you probably just ran into a better team in Baylor.
They're just good. They're good. Ish is good. Mano's good. You know, they're smart. You know, you look at the numbers, the guards, 26, 15, 15, you know, just very steady, smart. No, they executed. They made plays. You know, we just didn't have an answer for them.
I think that's a fairly good summation of what happened at points in time. You just don't have something you can go to always against all that length and size and skill that they have.
You know, it's really interesting to hear him say that there, and what popped into my mind listening to that was, oh my gosh, think about how good Al Freeman was. He was good. He wasn't off the charts great, but look at his line. 15 points, a rebound, 5 assists, a steal, only 2 turnovers in 28 minutes, hit 4 of 6 shots, went 2 out of 3 from 3, and 5 of 7 at the free throw line. That's a pretty good day, bud.
It is. Yeah. It is. They've got, obviously, the guys that draw a lot of headlines in Motley and LaCompa, guys like him, guys like Wainwright, are sort of doing the glue guy type of work in a way as well for Baylor, which I think that's something we don't always think about with them, but that's a part of what makes them such a good team right now.
Wainwright had 2 turnovers in 38 minutes. Would you be surprised if I told you he was in the top 5 in the league in assist-to-turnover ratio?
No, I would not.
I'm just telling you.
With those numbers, I would not. Yeah, if you would have told me before the game, I would have been, yes. Yes.
I guess that's the idea. Pretty productive player. And when you put 120 career games in his back pocket where he isn't going to be intimidated coming into the Octagon of Doom, that makes a difference too. It's a good team, good program. I don't know if they're the best team in America, and frankly, they probably aren't. But I think you would agree with me in saying I think they're a pretty legitimate top 10 team.
Definitely. A new poll that came out today had them at 6, by the way, so they did fall, but not all that far. And Kansas is number 2. They got surpassed by Villanova, so the Jayhawks not number 1 in the country. You know, the bottom line is you did run into a good team. There's no shame in losing that game, certainly to Baylor. A lot of teams are this year. They've only lost once for a reason to this point. But in the context of the season now is where I think things start to get dicey, because you're now 2-3 in the Big 12. You're still lacking a top 100 win on your tournament resume, and this week does not look on paper much easier than last week. There's a tricky road game at Oklahoma State on Wednesday. You've had your struggles, one in close games, two on the road. That's probably going to be both of those things right there. And then you have West Virginia, another top 10 Big 12 team, coming in on Saturday. So it just gets to the point where at some level you're going to have to break through and get one of these teams.
Well, and if you are thinking about this team being an NCAA tournament team, and I think we all are, and are hopeful of that, then I think it just increases, you know, the value of what you're talking about in terms of the importance of this week. We look at Oklahoma State and see a 10-7 team that started 10-2, has struggled in the Big 12, and yet at 0-5 may have played their best conference game Saturday at Lawrence, falling 87-80. They were in that thing and actually had a lead for a large portion of the game. I believe they're a dangerous team from the standpoint of they have veteran guards, much like Baylor. I mean, you look at Baylor's guards of Freeman, LeConte, Ish Wainwright. Is there a ton of difference between that and Juwan Evans, Phil Forte, and Jeffrey Carroll? Probably not. Right?
No. Yeah, I would say looking at guys that have been around for a while and can play.
Now, they may not have Jonathan Motley up front or the Achuel kid in the middle as a shot blocker, but those guards will be a challenge, no question about it.
It just sets up as a game where both teams, I think, are going to be feeling the pressure. Obviously, Oklahoma State at 0-5 in the Big 12 coming home with a home game against a team that's sub-500 in the league. They're going to be coming out with their backs against the wall, but K-State should be the same way. I mean, this is borderline must-win.
The other game with West Virginia Saturday, give them credit. They didn't play well Saturday and still found a way to win in Austin, and that's how you do it.
They did. They sure did. Coming up on Wildcat Insider, we will talk about the week that is to come for K-State with Oklahoma State and West Virginia a little bit more. We'll wrap up some football talk at 5:25 as well. The biggest question marks heading into spring ball, getting ready for the 2017 football season. But when we come back, a little more on the men, should we expect to continue to see more of Isaiah Maurice over Austin Budke? What Bruce Weber had to say after the game. You're listening to Wildcat Insider.